Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Hey, Central Ohio. The nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And I sort of used the analogy this morning. If this was, let's just say, the Arizona Cardinals had a young wide receiver in his prime, was like, I need to make bank. And they're like, well, look, if I pay you this year, I don't even know if it's going to make a difference in any wins this year or next year. So I might be better off trading you for a first round pick and try to redo this again once we think we have a better football team. The 49ers, as we know, right in the thick of the race to be the best team in the NFL. I still am not sure why, because it can't be Kevin. Well, look, it's been shown, like, you can't pay two wideouts and also a quarterback who's going to need a big money. No, everybody is. Like, that's the new in thing. The new kids are doing that right now, the cool kids at the table. Why are we looking forward to moving Brandon Ayuk out of San Francisco, in your opinion?
I think Brandon Ayuk partly wants to go because he is not going to maybe get as much money next year, Donnie, as he would at this moment due to the growing weaponry with Ricky Pearsall checking into the equation. And he probably thinks it's unlikely the Niners will pay him. You're right, Donnie. You know, we've seen guys pay multiple wideouts. This team has the highest paid running back in football. Mm-hmm. One of the highest paid tight ends in football. Uh-huh. Brock Purdy may be soon the highest paid quarterback in football. Mm-hmm. Debo's paid. Nicky Bosa's paid. They probably got three or four other guys on that defense that are paid. Trent Williams is paid. I mean, the list goes on and on. You know, they paid Javon Hargrave an offseason or so ago. So if he's looking around thinking, all right, my money's not going to come from San Francisco, which means I need to put up a big season, right, to have a big year. And I'm not going to even have a big season maybe as much here. You know what? Let me go somewhere else. And whoever trades for me, we've seen this before, has to pay me, because you're not going to trade for me and then lose Correct. Me for nothing. So yes. I'm just trying to lock in my dollars. So let me get out of here now.
The framework is in place. And yesterday, as I was telling you, before you popped on, the Pittsburgh Steelers were the hot team in the morning. Like, oh, trade's going down. It's going to be with the Steelers. And Steeler, nation is just hitting refresh throughout the day. And then when the story came out, it's like, yeah, framework's in place for the Patriots and the Browns. I sort of looked over that for like 15 minutes. Like, okay, Patriots and the Steelers going at it. I said, well, wait a second. Did I read that tweet right? I had to go back. Wait, the Browns are interested now, mm-hmm. which adds another layer. Would love to see him on the, we'll get to the Patriots in a second. Would love to see him on the Browns, but if I'm the 49ers, and we don't know what the trade details would be, primarily based around compensation of picks is what you would think, but now we're hearing that it could be Amari Cooper on his way back, a high-priced veteran wide receiver, so I say to myself, why don't you just sign the favorite option for your young quarterback Brock Purdy and Ayuk and make him happy and keep him there? That's what I can't figure out.
I'm guessing, well, we don't know that Brandon Ayuk and, Brock Purdy are best of friends, right? And I'm not saying that Brock dislikes him, but I'm not sure Brock's beating down the door saying, you better make sure this guy's still here.
He's got that Joe Barrow feel. I like it. Yep, go ahead.
Yeah, well, he's like, just couldn't care less.
Hates his wideouts. Exactly. Hates all his wideouts. Pay me. I don't care about anybody else. Go ahead.
So I think realistically, if for the Niners, you save some long-term money, I don't know what the Ayuk deal is going to be, and I don't know off the top of my head what the Amari Cooper deal is presently, but if you're going to save some money and you're assumingly still going to get back some type of draft compensation,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I think that the one reason why the Amari thing caught my eye a little bit is my bashing of the Niners' handling of this situation is you are still a win-now football team. Mm-hmm. You can trade Brandon Ayuk and be win-now. You just have to do it before the draft. And this Correct. Team doing it in August is very foolish. Well, if you get back Amari Cooper, it certainly lessens the blow a lot then. Because then, you're not doing the two timelines thing all too much. You know, they make this trade with the New England Patriots, DRS, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they're getting a first-round pick for Brandon Ayuk. I don't think New England can risk giving up a first-round pick. And, you know, this isn't the NBA, right? They're not going to get a 2027 first. I just don't think that's how this works. So you're looking at a second-rounder from New England. Well, New England this year picked where, Donnie, in the second round? You know, with one of the first three selections.
High, yeah.
So you could have had a top
Drake May was what, third pick?
Player.
Yeah.
Yes. Yep. You could have had a top 35 player in this class if you traded with New England back in April. And you could have, that's an impact player, Donnie, if you're San Francisco, right? Heck, you could have probably made that deal before the draft even happened. All of a sudden, now you have picks 31, 35. Guess what? Boom, package it, move it up. We're going to get a superstar now. We're getting somebody we absolutely love. If you want.
Yes,
if you want to try and make that type of splash. So this is a football team that, again, we'll see what the ultimate ending story is here, but if they bring in Amari Cooper, they've now not damaged themselves too much in the present to where I could see the argument.
Yeah, like what happens if they would have traded him in the draft and let's just say got a late round, let's just say even first round or somebody wanted to jump when it was hot at that point. You package that up and now you got Malik Nabers out there at like $1 million or $2 million a year on a rookie contract with the Niners. It's kind of crazy the way it played out. More Hot Topics on the way. It's Moneyline on a Tuesday morning right here on the Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Olympics going on right now. Serbia with a big-time comeback win today against Team Australia this morning. So as crazy it is that Serbia moves on, Nikola Jokic probably furious that they're moving on because he could be home with his horses at this point, but he has to play another basketball game, K-Dub. How about that?
Here's my thing, and I promise I'm not attacking you on it, but can we give up on the whole this guy doesn't care about basketball thing?
No.
Donnie, like, why would he be playing in the Olympics, though?
Like, because he likes his country more than the NBA. Yeah, he likes his country more than the NBA.
It's so annoying that we keep telling everyone that Nikola Jokic doesn't care about MVPs and doesn't care about the success and the money and everything that comes with being an NBA player. Like, yes, he'd rather probably live in Serbia. And yes, he loves racing horses. You don't think everything that comes with being an NBA player is a part of that? Like, the guy loves basketball. Enough. I just can't stand it. We've been doing it forever.
He would rather if he had to go home tonight and pray that he could be like the size of a jockey and sit like, you know, on top of a horse as opposed to be a dominant giant NBA player. I think he would give it up.
No,
I think he would give it up.
That.
I think he would, like, too much pressure here to play in the NBA. Just send me home at this point. But Team USA is playing this afternoon as a heavy favorite against Team Brazil. Did you get a factor on this game yet? Because again, we're not going to have everybody gets to play 15 minutes and it's kumbaya, let's see where we go. You are going to now have rotations that are locked in set. You're going to have go-to guys, which I believe it's going to be LeBron James. I think obviously Steph Curry is going to be able to step up, shoot a lot more three-point shots because he'll play a few more minutes. How do you feel this game goes today? Is it a cover or are you just going by, well, they don't have to win by 25. They just have to win in advance, like survive in advance like the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, if I were taking the spread, I would actually lay it here. I think that USA has been by far the best team thus far in this tournament, and that's where they're supposed to be, right? But I think now that you elevate this up to the knockout stage, this is a step-up spot against a team that's nowhere near as good as them. One of the swing factors for Brazil so far has been Bruno Caboclo. I'm probably not getting that last name.
El Caboclo, I like it.
He did play for the Toronto Raptors for a little bit, but he has been Brazil's best player, but his issue has been massive foul trouble. In the first two games of this tournament, he barely was able to crack 15 minutes of work in the two games. But now, his most recent game against Japan, stood out of foul trouble. I think he might have scored 30 in that game. So if they could get him into some uncomfortable guarding spots, Durant, Embiid, AD, LeBron, get him into some foul trouble, it's going to really limit the Brazil offense here, which I think is key. I have the LeBron 15-plus. He had scored 20-plus in three straight. Now his last two, he hasn't been able to get to 15. That's because they haven't needed him to get to 15, right, against Puerto Rico mm-hmm. and South Sudan. Now you go knockout stage style. It's an elevated stage here, and I think LeBron steps up on it with 15-plus points.
Yeah, I was on the beach on Saturday. They gave Bet365 gave me a banger bonus bet or boost. Excuse me. What's 10 points for KD and 10 points for LeBron James? Now, if you look at the box score, it was 10 and 11, but they got him early in the third quarter. That was a plus 150. Was it plus or minus 150? Excuse me, minus 190 boost to do a plus 100. So I'm hoping we get something here. Obviously, FanDuel, no, they're out. You know what? If it would have been a good. Oh, here we go. Bet365 today, Kevin. LeBron James 15-plus points. Anthony Davis 5-plus boards, plus 110 boost.
Yeah, that's strong. I mean, the AD rebounds, if he didn't get to that, it would be the first time he wasn't able to get to that number. So, you know, now LeBron for 15-plus, Donnie's minus 120 over on FanDuel.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's moved overnight, but you're... Man, you know what? Can I be my usual pest self? Though?
Yes.
Let me see if you're getting the
LeBron's
going to
be more facilitator. He's going to be more a facilitator today.
I don't think so. I mean, I think he does a little bit of everything. I think LeBron is commanding this stage in a big way. My phone line is blinging right now. Yeah, no, you're getting a good number there, Donnie. You're getting a good number there. Because LeBron for 15 points and AD for 6 rebounds, plus 114. On FanDuel. But I'm saying you're dropping a rebound there. So that's pretty solid.
It is. There you go. So it might be something to dip into a little bit later. How about France-Canada today? The home team, the French, home court advantage, 7.5 points. Any looks there for that noon game coming up in what, 40 minutes?
I'm all over France in this game, Donnie. I don't, you know, it's really, I feel rare at times when we get a team like France has looked really bad, right? And... You know, even in their wins, they haven't been super convincing. The overtime game against Japan was you know, maybe even more concerning than that loss to Germany. But sometimes we see those and we go, man, the book is just not adjusting to how poorly this team is playing. Well, the book is massively adjusted by making France, who is, if there's anything of a home court advantage, they have it, an 8-point underdog here to Canada, who hasn't separated from any team that they've played. Again, if you do a little bit of spread math here and just kind of look at, you know, different things, Canada is... A team that was laying Donnie, or excuse me, rather, France played Germany, was catching about 1.5, right? You know, you look at Germany, who just went up and played Greece. That was an 8-point line. You know, that's about what France laid. If France and Germany are the same, if you want to, you know, or if Germany and Canada are the same, you're looking at a number that's wildly inflated here. If this was 4, I would probably sell you, okay, that's an appropriate reaction. It's double that. I have to take the 8 points with the home team.
I've been enjoying the Olympics as it goes. Like, I watch, like, you know, because once I'm done at noon, I usually grab some lunch, you know, walk the dogs for a little bit. But right in the middle of the afternoon is when a lot of good stuff is taking place. Track and field getting underway, been having fun with that. But I did watch something yesterday, which I thought was interesting. And I'm going to set the table because we only have a couple more moments here in this segment. But you know me. Look, nobody loves this country and sports more than your boy DRS. Like, it just goes hand in hand. Like, that's me, All-American DRS. I saw yesterday a pole vaulter from Sweden that was absolutely incredible. I'm talking about, Kevin, doing things we've never seen before. World records. No idea how he can fly that high on a pole. I don't even know who even came up with that competition as it is. The guy's name, Kevin, Mondo Duplantis, right? So you figure, like, oh, man, it sounds a little French. How about that? It's interesting. But he's Sweden. I'm like, man, how does Sweden have unbelievable pole vaulters? Like, where did this come from? Well, you know where he came from, Kevin. He's an American. He grew up in Louisiana. He went to LSU. He's the pole vaulter for Sweden. I mean, how's this? I don't even know how this happens here. So, me being commissioner of all sports here, Kevin, I got to take control here. I got to be head of the Olympics, and I got to make sure that we're vetting these people properly. I know Kevin agrees with me, and we'll be back to talk about that and much, much more.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Watch out for the Swedes in the pole vault, people. They're having imports out here. Team USA could have went gold and silver in the pole vault if this guy was just an American here. By the way, you like this thing. Like, he goes to LSU, or he graduated LSU, Kevin. Like, game number one, as I talked to Ben, and I said, you know what would be great at LSU? Like, you know, sometimes you bring out a guy like, hey, throw a first pitch, you know, throw a football, go out for the coin flip. Kevin, if this guy actually pole vaulted through the uprights, like, to start the game, I mean, come on now. Like, that's a win, right? Like, would you love to see that? World champion record holder pole vaulting over the uprights to get that game started. That would be phenomenal.
No, no one would care. Stop.
What do you mean? No one cares. Still, come on now. He goes right into the back net that usually catches the football. Stop. You wouldn't be enjoying that?
No, would you? Stop. Look, you would watch?
Here's Mondo Duplantis, world record holder, gold medalist. Somehow he's from Sweden, but he went to our university. And he just goes from like the 15-yard line and goes right through the uprights. Oh, my goodness.
I mean, you went to college. Like, you didn't go to college with people that weren't from the U.S.? Like, I don't even – what are you talking about?
It would be like me growing up in New Jersey, which I did. And out of nowhere, I'm like, look, I'm the fastest 100 meter guy on the planet, but like, my grandmother grew up in Azerbaijan, so 100 years ago I'm gonna run for Azerbaijan, even though I'm a U.S. citizen and I was born here, grew up here, went to school here all the way through. How's that happen? Like, Joel Embiid playing for Team USA, stop the madness. I mean, stop it. Stop.
I mean, again, like, the thing with Embiid is probably
Carly Jones. Stop.
More of his life in America than he has in any other country.
I don't know. Has he? What did he come over, like 18?
I mean, probably. I think he played a little high school ball in the U.S. as well. So before he went to Kansas, he's almost 30.
Yeah, but he was born there. Like, isn't that where you're supposed to be, like, that first citizenship from?
Guys have dual. It's called dual citizenship.
Yeah, but that's not right, though. That's disrespecting your birth country, though. I don't like it. I just don't like the way it plays out. This dude, like, I feel like I would get a Duplantis jersey today if I could. But he's Swedish.
Now,
come on.
More importantly, did you see the clip of Brian Windhorst saying that apparently FIBA goes out of their way to basically ensure that the 3x3 basketball is not littered with NBA talent from the USA?
I mean, just maybe the dumbest thing
apparently, it's that they don't care about ratings, and they don't want it to be like, that's not what they're looking for. They're not looking for them to be dumb.
Sounds anti-American. Sounds anti-American right there, to be honest.
I don't know what there's a Windhorst clip. He was on McAfee's show.
Yeah.
So I got to go. I mean, do you hear me getting yelled at in the middle of this breakdown?
Yeah, why are you? What's going on back there? They probably agree with me, like Duplantis should be an American and Joel Embiid should be playing for Cameroon, I believe. That's what I'm thinking in the background at this point right now. Hot takes get agreed upon at that point right now.
I don't know.
I mean, my goodness, man. The chatter back there is absolutely fantastic. But no, the 3-on-3 baffles me, because the minute you hear 3-on-3, you say to yourself, oh, that's going to be really cool. The nation's best basketball players playing 3-on-3, which again would lead to entertainment on your TV. The best of, that's what the Olympics are supposed to be, the best of the best. And now that professionals are allowed in the Olympics, it truly is the best of the best, not just the best of amateur Olympics at this point. So I do agree with that. And again, if I'm watching the 3-on-3, I say, how does Jimmer Fredette get on here? How does, like, Rick Barry's great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandson get on here, and we don't have legitimate players? Like, you take a look at Ice Cube, who runs the actual Big Three. Like, if he just sent a couple of his teams over, people would get a lot of enjoyment out that all the way through. And so would I. By the way, Ari Miroff with a tweet here with Brandon Ayuk. It says, where things stand with the 49ers wide receiver Brandon Ayuk per verified reports. The 49ers have given Ayuk permission to negotiate a new contract with the specific teams per Adam Schefter. And also, Browns and Patriots have agreed to trade deals with the 49ers. So they're just waiting for the dollar figures to come out at this point. But you know what I'm interested in this too? As we'll get back and talk some of the Olympic stuff, Kevin, is Are they just doing like what the Baltimore Ravens were hoping to do? Like, we're never trading this guy. Go on the market, find a deal, because we can't come to one. And if we actually like the deal, we'll say, no trade, you get the money that you just agreed to in, let's just say, New England, and come back home. Is there a chance that Ayuk doesn't go anywhere because the 49ers are actually being very proactive and smart by letting somebody else negotiate?
No, I think we're too far, right, for this to not happen. I think there has to be a trade here now.
Yeah, it seems like they're too far down that path. And by the way, let's talk about it next. What are the Patriots doing if he goes there? I mean, what is going on? Just rebuild for the future.
I'm going to disagree.
Oh, come on now. Disagreement's coming up, people. Don't change the dial. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A lot of fights in camp here, by the way, in the NFL. Detroit, New York, they're going to play a preseason game, but they're having their joint practices swinging on each other left and right. But before we get to that and talk a little bit more preseason action, the question was, if we do have Brandon Ayuk being moved on from the 49ers, which I think is a terrible mistake on the 49ers' end of it, if he ends up with Cleveland, it's intriguing. If he ends up with the New England Patriots, I don't know what's going on with the Patriots. But you seem to like the deal if Ayuk does go to the Patriots here.
Yeah, I do. So my thing is, this team has not had wide receiver talent for a very, very long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I do not think adding Brandon Ayuk is going to lead to this football team winning an additional 3-4 games. I mean, this is supposed to be a bad football team as is, right? I understand if you're like, hey, man, like, what if this gives Jacoby Brissett the tools to win? Well, then maybe they were going to do some winning anyway, right? Maybe Gerard mm-hmm. Mayo's a heck of a coach. I think this is a team that has to put some talent in that room, especially because I don't trust them to sit Drake May for a full season, Donnie. And also, it just doesn't look like Brandon Ayuk's going to be super expensive right now. I mean, the contract stuff is a lot crazier with your Chase Jefferson Lamb crowd.
Mm-hmm.
And you didn't have to give up a top 35 pick, right, from this past year's draft. So you were able to draft, or make trades and, you know, do whatever you wanted. And now this team gets to try and add another wide receiver to, again, a wide receiver room that has been devoid of talent since Tom was still there.
Yeah, it is interesting, too. But I just don't know what to pay. Like, I'm so down on the Patriots now. It even hurts worse as now we're finding out. Like, remember, like, we were saying, like, okay, talk to us about Trey Lance and the 49ers. Like, so we got nothing to say. Like, what? Is he we don't have anything to say about the guy, which means it was probably going bad. Drake May looks like he doesn't even understand, like, what a football is at this point for the New England Patriots, which is a tough scene all the way together. But I don't know if that's the right move. And depending on what the contract is and what you're giving up, is going to change. But if I'm a Brandon Ayuk fan of a team and say, you know what, this guy's going to put us and help us put us over the top, I think it does make sense for Cleveland. But also the interesting part is they're talking about Cleveland moving Amari Cooper back to the 49ers as one of the possible outcomes. We'll find out probably today where he's going or if he's actually staying. Now, I didn't get a chance to talk to you last week on this. Thursday night was the Hall of Fame game, which was very high scoring. And shout out Joe Lisi, who was telling everybody just alt the hell out of these overs and get after it. He actually got his tickets voided in the game that looked like it might have 55 to 60 points there, which you would hit everything. But that wasn't really what I was looking for in that game. It was the overall kickoffs and getting a vibe for what the season would be with those kickoffs. What was your look finally seeing it absolutely off pages and off of, like, hey, here's what it's going to look like, seeing it live?
Hey, listen, I'll take this straight from the Donnie playbook. I didn't see a single one.
Oh, come on.
I was in San Diego, man, and I...
Oh, my God.
And Donnie, you know what?
There's nothing even to do in San Diego.
Now, that's a terrible take, all right? A credit to me, really, for not seeing any of it, because they told you that game didn't matter by just shutting it down in the middle of it.
Yep.
But, listen, I'll have plenty of time to catch more preseason and see it. People seem excited. They think there's going to be 1,000 kickoff return touchdowns.
Yes.
What was your excitement level?
I like the move better than what we had, but still, I am a traditionalist, and I understand that we're never going to get back to let's move the foot. Like, hey, look, these kickers are great. Put the ball on the 15-yard line, have them kick off. There would be no touchbacks, and it would be much more fun, and you would get a true advantage of special teams. We know it's never coming back. The thing that just is odd is the kicker sitting back all by himself and launching like that high kick with design is not to go out of the end zone, so he doesn't hammer it, and nobody moves. It's like everybody's stuck in motion until the ball is caught. That's going to take a little bit of time to get used to, but I like the fact that I'm interested to see early on in the season the effect, because you should be getting that football 30-yard line or more, just having a below-average return. And we're all about offense. We want touchdown props. We want points to go over, all that good stuff, right? So I do think it is going to help. And I was asking, like, Ben last week, I said, that would be an interesting bet, because I don't even know how to quantify it. Let's just say in the past 5 years, what's the return average, Kevin? 30%, maybe less, 20% of total kickoffs, like, being returned? You're now going to get at least 90% of those kickoffs returns. So the number I was putting out there, 18 weeks of football, Kevin, do you believe that we will get 18 touchdowns or more returned on kickoffs this year? I say yes.
Man, I'm again.
One a week.
I can't pretend to have a great gauge. I hope we don't pay for it on the totals. Can I be honest? Like, that's what I worry about. So one of the worst, probably the single worst rule change in the history of sports was moving the extra point back. Legitimately, the worst rule that you could maybe ever
come
up. Yes. What happened is none of the books changed anything, right?
Mm-hmm.
The key numbers were, you know, still seven, the totals. Mm-hmm. And when a guy would miss an extra point, you'd get burned on a total by a half or by a point.
It's a whole drive that you miss. A whole drive. Crazy. Yep.
So what I don't want to happen, Donnie, is a game that would total would typically be 44.5 is now all of a sudden 46. Oh, man, you don't know what these kickoffs, man. Higher scoring year. Higher scoring year. And listen, I know people are probably hearing this and saying, oh, come on, man, then just bet unders. Listen, I'll tell you right now, you're going to see plenty more unders from me coming up this NFL season.
Ooh.
But that's neither here nor there. It's about capping a game correctly and it going over, right?
Yes.
But all of a sudden a guy missed an extra point, or saying, you know, with now these extra, you know, the returns, Donnie, like if they start happening at some wild frequency there and books go, man, scoring's way up, every total's now in the 50s, and it's like, all right, well, I can't bet overs anymore because I'm betting an over based on if a guy's going to return a kick. And now that this whole thing has completely kind of spoiled the fun here of a normal total. Like, I think that's the worry of it, man. Those things are such bonuses when they come in that I just hope we don't pay for them, because then they're actually going to become negative in totality.
Do you remember, too, because sometimes the NFL does things that don't necessarily make sense, because I think if you ask people by a wide margin is, you want less field goals and less extra points, right? Like, you don't want the kicking game really to determine, like, hey, you got to click, because granted, we love to watch Justin Tucker, but it's sort of a pain in the ass, like, come on, Ravens, you don't have to cross the 50 and, like, take your foot off the gas because a 60-yard is automatic at this point. But that's not even why they change the extra point. NFL guys are math guys by trade, right? Everybody has an analytics office, and the whole concept of, well, look at this. It's just so easy to make the extra point. Why do we even kick it? Let's make it tougher. Instead, they should have said, you have a choice just to add the extra point automatically. You don't have to go out there and kick it. Or you can go for two. We'll take the point off the board. You can go for two. Nobody did that. So apparently the NFL thought it was better. Like, hey, let's have some games decided on a missed extra point when that's not really what it was. Like, nobody, like, I don't think anybody in the NFL office, like Roger Goodell, like, you know what's going to be awesome? Let's get to the Super Bowl and have a team tie it up with 1 second left to go, then miss the extra point. How exciting that would be. Like, that's not exciting. That's ridiculous. Nobody wants to see that happen unless, of course, you won your bet at your favorite team and the other team missed it out on it. But what they really thought was going to happen, Kevin, like, ooh, you know what? That longer field goal, we're going to go for two a lot more. Ooh, that makes it more exciting in the NFL. People love two-point conversions, and nobody goes for two-point conversions unless, obviously, you need it late in the game or mathematically it makes sense. So it almost, like, backfired. Like, I think if you ask, like, even though it was, what's the word I'm looking for? This is like a ceremonial play, like touchdown, extra point, you make it 99.9% of the time. Mm-hmm. I don't think anybody ever had a, did anybody ever have a problem with that play? Did anybody ever say, oh, I wish they would move that back? I never heard a single person ask for that.
Well, that's the thing, too. Like, and this is, it's going to happen. Maybe it won't happen, right? But it should. Like, Donnie, the two-point conversion is from the two bleeping yard line. Mm-hmm. Like, man, Donnie, when we see someone at fourth and two on the opposing 30, we're like, if you kick this field goal, you are one of the dumbest son of a coaches we've ever seen in the world.
Correct. Yep.
Like, as, you know, I know a lot of the kickers have adjusted, but again, like, the two-point conversion is just worth way more. And I'm telling you, it's going to throw off spreads and totals thrown off a lot.
Tough scene all the way around here. Special teams back in it. That's 33% of the game, people. My high school coach would be proud of us talking special teams right now. Much more to come right on Moneyline in the Morning on the Sports Grid Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The NFL is like, we can't just like throw you out of the league. All right, how about a big fine here? Then Robert Kraft says, okay, you want to fine my coach? I'm just going to raise his contract and then I'll cover the fine itself. So it's almost hilarious, right? Same thing with college football at this point. They don't want to catch Michigan doing wrong. Michigan was caught, and for me, it's I don't want to sound like I'm going way overboard. But when you talk about scandals, like back in the day, you can't pay players. SMU got the death penalty because they were paying players. They had to do it. It's almost like, look, you guys are so stupid. Like, we have to take your football program away. And there's been other violations and guys losing Heisman trophies and wins being lost. I understand all of that. But if you want to ask me and say, Donnie, come up with a scheme now in today's college football that can really be like a hindrance on absolute fair play. It's, well, I'm just going to put people on other teams' sidelines to steal signals and do everything against the grain. And also, Kevin, it comes from a football program that was struggling in Michigan to beat anybody on any big level, that all of a sudden turned the corner at a certain time point that they started to illegally scout. What, like, forget about, we talked a ton about what happened before, but now that we're finding new levels to this and their new head coach is right in the center of it, yeah. Like, what happens to Michigan, or what doesn't happen to Michigan?
Yeah, I don't know what's going to happen to them, because the head guy's out, right? And, you know, if you're college football, You know, Harbaugh's already gone, so there's only so much you can do there. And really what's left of it is probably Sharon Moore. And, man, that's unfortunate for Sharon Moore to a degree that he's going to get this opportunity. And it could very well be taken away from him due to the fines. But also, everyone involved obviously deserves it, because this is a total joke. Here's the thing, Donnie. I am not going to sit here and pretend to tell you that I've read document over finding and finding of what happened here. But some of this stuff is pretty simple. Harbaugh, hot seat. Red hot. Yes. Everybody knew it. Everyone knew it. Harbaugh couldn't... It's not like he was losing close to Ohio State. They were getting their doors blown off. The conversation around Ohio State and Michigan is, this isn't a rivalry anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, I know it's a game and it's important, but this isn't competitive. They would hang 49 on that team easily. Justin Fields was throwing touchdown passes with his eyes closed. Yeah. And then, boom, oh, Michigan owns them. And boom, Michigan's in the national championship and or in the college football playoff, right? But again, remember the first time Michigan ended up in the college football playoff, Donnie, right? When they're now not playing Big Ten teams or the worst teams you've ever seen scheduled on a legitimate program's schedule. Yeah. They got embarrassed by Georgia, completely dominated and rolled in that. Or no, excuse me, that was in a bowl game. Remember they lost to a TCU, Donnie.
Yes,
and then you
they
saw
did.
What happened when Georgia played TCU, right?
Yeah. Yep.
And you can say, oh, well, what about this year? They played Alabama to the absolute nail. But it's an Alabama team that, while I think deserved to be in, and I thought could certainly win that football game, that is not the greatest Alabama team that we've seen in some time. Let's not pretend that it is. So when someone like yourself, and I'm not even here to argue the whole merit of it, right? But when someone like yourself feels that Reggie Bush is a definitive cheater, right?
Yes.
And everything that was taken away from Reggie is valid, right?
Mm-hmm.
And my stance on, well, Reggie ultimately got paid for things he deserved to get paid for. But rules are rules, right?
Yes.
Here's the reality of it. What Michigan did helped them win football games. And you're basically lying to yourself if you think that's not true. You can't tell me they weren't doing it because everybody is now admitted and it's a well out there that they were doing the sign stealing. So it's a real thing. So, yeah, I mean, it taints it, but when we're 20 years removed, we'll get over it. And when Harbaugh gets put in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, we'll glance over it. But it's one of those things in real time. And cheating garbage. There's no other way to look at it.
No,
cheating, honestly. I'm sorry, but they were probably cheating even more on the way out, knowing it was the way out.
Yeah, and it's also like it got you your championship. Everybody got paid. They're, you know, who if they take it away, I still watch it with my own eyes, and I get all that. But also some other commentators, which we don't need to bring up what network they're from, basically give the old, like, everybody steals signs. Everybody's doing this. They just, exactly, but they got caught. Like everybody cheats on their tax returns. Everybody steals vacation days or, you know, whatever from their employer, just to put it into a random fact. But when you get caught, that's where the trouble comes in. But sometimes it's like, Kevin, like, we expect, like, hey, you know what? This guy illegally recruited off campus for a day. He tried to cut the rules, got caught. Like, okay, understandable. Like, you know, it happens there. But when you are actively, like, a whole rigging scheme, and it's just the over-the-topness, because I do love this, and it gets back to Rick Pitino back in Louisville when they got their championship taken, where Rick Pitino, again, probably has, what, 7 or 8 coaches under him, 15 total players, and he's like, I got no idea what happens in this program. Like, once we have recruits on campus or players, I have no idea. When you know exactly what they have. And Rick Pitino's probably going, like, you know what? Send some ladies over there. So let's have a good party for the boys here. Make them enjoy their time. I have no idea what those guys were doing. Stop the madness at that point. Just admit it and come out. You're wrong. It's okay. They're never going to do that. But then again, Michigan won the championship. Shame on us. We'll get to some phone calls next, so don't you go anywhere. It's Moneyline on a Tuesday morning. It's Donnie and Kevin, and we'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ah, a lot more fun topics to be had here, but we do want to get to the phone lines, 844-843-6879, because there's a man right now that might want to chime in on the boys up north in Michigan. That is the Moose. He's here on a Tuesday. What's good, Moose?
First of all, this is a very, very special day for me, because not only do I get to talk to you, I get to talk to K-Dub on this very special hour, and I do have to commend the powers to be. I think this was one of the smartest moves to move your show up to 11 o'clock. You know, I honestly do, because you guide me into a lot of my betting program. And I'm just going to kick this off before I get into my up north rant. K-Dub, I understand you're out west. Did you get a chance to go down to the old San Diego district and experience that food? Absolutely excellent restaurant down there. I had
a lot of good stuff.
I had a Title III wiretap up there in 1997, and I had to stay out of Logan Heights. And right outside of San Diego, what a lot of people don't understand is a place called Rosarita, Tijuana. And we were taken down, and I'll give this information to you guys off the air because I don't want you to think I'm full of BS. But anyways, San Diego has a wonderful food scene out there. So here's the deal. Here's the deal from the biggest, and this, here's the deal. The 11 o'clock,
lay them out.
Here is the deal to that boy up north from the biggest 11 o'clock brown noser, right, in sports grid history, all right? So, all right, they took down that boat from those cheaters on the walleye scandal and down off the bow, okay? And you know what the boat was named? The SS Harbaugh. All right, I'm out of here.
Wow. I mean, Ohio's finest right there, K-Dub, chiming in. You knew he would like to get set up there on a little Harbaugh slander at this point. And also, what are the by the way, speaking of Michigan, cheating, no cheating, who knows if we're going to get suspended at this point. What is their expectations this year in the Big Ten? Like, if they have good players returning back, I know that with the OG kid or something like that, who's going to be their quarterback this year? Orgy? Yeah, what's his name?
Yeah, I think it is Orgy. But look, this is a situation where, and it's relative, Donnie, they're not like projected to make the college football playoff preseason.
Yeah.
Again, things can change, right? They're, I believe, man, if I hope I'm, I believe they have Texas coming to their building, and I think they might be a home dog in the football game. Jeez. Which, if that's not, yeah, exactly, right? Like, if that's not telling, you know, let me see if I can pull this up quick. Oh, where is this game? No, it's not. Oh, game of the year. Boom, boom, boom. Here we go. Yeah, Michigan Donnie's catching 3.5 points at home to Texas.
Yeah.
Jeez. Right? That win total for Michigan right now checks in at 8.5. Now, minus 162 to the over. Donnie, this is a team that went unbeaten last year, right? So
yeah. Yep.
That's, again, big, big, big shifts when it comes to Michigan football and those expectations.
Yep. Got my Athlon College Football delivered to me this week because Kev was texting me saying, is there anything digital online? I said, you know what? Let me just go ahead and make that order. I was telling a funny story, whereas it must have my old address in there. So I had to order two magazines, Kevin. One got delivered to whoever bought my last house, and one got delivered to me officially yesterday. So that was pretty good news. I had to waste, what, 15, 16 bucks on getting that sent here. But just wanted to keep the boys up to date, like my Hurricanes this year. What, ACC prediction, third? Come on now. We got to be better than that. Xavier Restrepo and the boys, come on now. We got to be better.
I saw some love from for Miami yesterday, though. I mean, there's certainly an idea that this team is going to be, you know, legitimately competitive. And again, we talk about that college football playoff, Donnie, but if love you're it. A team like Miami, you yep. have to feel like you have an opportunity now to go out there and surprise. So. I think that's why expansion is going to be met with open arms here, man. And I think it's going to be very, very exciting.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. By the way, Major League Baseball today, Philadelphia Phillies, Dodgers squaring up. Dodgers picked up another win yesterday. Can the Braves cut down the Phillies? You got the New York Yankees today as a 250 favorite over the Los Angeles Angels. You've been keeping up on baseball since being out there or coming back, I should say, from San Diego.
Actually, yeah, I try and consistently keep tabs. I saw Zach Wheeler had a gem against Seattle, which is not what I was looking for race with Paulie Skeens.
Yeah.
I think it shows, man, Skeens is going to have to be otherworldly. And his last two have been, for him, underwhelming. But I think that he's still got a lot of, still a lot of room to go there.
Skeens trying to win it all with the Cy Young. That'll do it for today's show, which means we'll be back on a Wednesday for Chris Brown, the Wheels of Steel, Donnie Wrightside, and Kevin Walsh. Thanks for tuning into a Tuesday edition of Moneyline, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Moro Casino. America's Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Hey, Central Ohio. The nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.
Big color, bigger savings. It's Sherwin-Williams' biggest super sale. Get 40% off paints and stains October 17th through the 27th with prices starting at $29.39. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.